Verse 12 says, "Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, because he knows that he has a short time." Romans chapter 16, verse 20 tells us, "And the God of peace shall crush Satan under your feet shortly."
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. In our series of messages on the book of Revelation, we now come to chapter 12, where is detailed the incredible account of war in heaven. This is the topic of the message coming tonight from Dr. Raphael Thomas as he examines what is revealed in Scripture about this war. A war that began when Satan first raised his fist in rebellion against the great God of all creation and spread pain and ruin throughout the universe, both spirit and physical. But in this futuristic vision of things to come given to the Apostle John, this war in heaven ends with the preordained victory of Christ, the Lamb of God, and the expulsion of Satan from that holy place. So we invite you to follow along in your Bibles as Dr. Thomas uses various related scriptures to flesh out, to set the context and draw the larger picture of this war in heaven and its dramatic effect on planet Earth. Here now is Dr. Raphael Thomas with the first part of his message, War in the Heavens, Wrath in the Earth.
The passage before us today, as you know, is set in the context of the tribulation. The tribulation is a 7-year period on the earth after the rapture of the church. It is a period of intense destruction and devastation on the earth. It is characterized by distress and disasters never before experienced in the earth. It will impact land and sea, heaven and earth, humans and vegetation. Last week, Pastor Brian shared with us the opening of the seals in Revelation chapter 6. He spoke of the severe destruction that resulted from these seals, the deception of the Antichrist, the distress, the despair, the death, and cosmic devastation. It will be a time in which there will be an utter collapse of human government, a time of judgment on the earth for all those who reject Christ, and judgment against the evil forces of this world. If you think that was the end of the chaos and the calamity, brace yourself. It is just the introduction. As Revelation unfolds, the crises get more intense. But the Bible tells us, thank God, that the church will be saved from the wrath to come. 1 Thessalonians 5:9. You see, when you know the end of the story, you have an advantage. You probably heard the story about the three tailors who met and were discussing who is the best tailor. One said, "Well, I can build a suit for a man by just looking at him, just a glance at him." The second tailor said, "I am even better than that. All I have to do is to see him going around the corner. Once I catch a glimpse of him going around a corner, I will be able to build him a suit." The third one said, "I am even much better than that. All I have to see is the corner." Well, as far as I know, there is only one person who can see around the corner. And in this book of Revelation, he has given us a glimpse of what is going to happen along the corridors of time and into eternity. We have an advantage. We have seen the end of the story. So we should know how to act. We already know how the story ends. Here in the time of tribulation, it was not only mentioned by John in the Revelation, but it was seen by other prophets years before John came on the scene. It is called the Day of the Lord in Isaiah 2:12. It is mentioned in Isaiah 13:6-9, Joel 1:15, Joel 2:1-31. It is mentioned in 1 Thessalonians 5:2. It is referred to as trouble in Zephaniah 1:1. Daniel says in 12:1, Daniel chapter 12, verse 1, it is a day of trouble. And Jeremiah 30, verse 7 calls it Jacob's trouble. Let us look at the passage which was read as the doorway to understand some of the things that will be happening during this time. First of all, the war in heaven. The Bible says, and war broke out in heaven. This brings into perspective the conflict of the ages. The war is on, but the war is won. The war is on, but the war is won. There has been a conflict between good and evil shortly after creation. The Bible tells us in Ezekiel 28:12 to 19, Son of man, take up a lament concerning the king of Tyre and say to him, this is what the sovereign Lord says, you were the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfection in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone adorned you. Carnelian, chrysolite, emerald, topaz, onyx, and jasper, lapis, lazuli, turquoise, and beryl. Your settings and mountings were made of gold. On the day you were created, they were prepared. You were anointed as a guardian cherub, for so I ordained you. You were on the holy mount of God. You walked among the fiery stones. You were blameless in your ways from the day you were created till wickedness was found in you. Through your widespread trade, you were filled with violence and you sinned. So I drove you in disgrace from the mount of God, and I expelled you, guardian cherub, from among the fiery stones. Your heart became proud on account of your beauty, and you corrupted your wisdom because of your splendor. So I threw you to the earth. I made a spectacle of you before kings. By your many sins and dishonest trade, you have desecrated your sanctuary. So I made a fire come out from you, and it consumed you. I reduced you to ashes on the ground in the sight of all who were watching. All the nations who know you are appalled at you. You have come to a horrible end and will be no more. Depicting the fall of Satan, one who was created in perfection and one who had the joy and the splendor of living in the presence of God when his heart became lifted up with pride. He was cast out of heaven. Jesus says in Luke 10:18, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. We are told that now we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness in heavenly places, in high places. Satan has an abode in the heavenlies. He has access at this time to the heavenlies. But the time is coming during the time of the tribulation that he will no longer have access to the heavens. And in fact, there are more than one heavens because Paul was taken up to the third heavens. So maybe Satan is on the second floor. But the time is coming when he will be cast down to the earth. And at that time, the tribulation on the earth is going to even become more intense. If we have seen the six seals last week, let us look at the trumpets and the bowls, because the judgments in Revelation are described by seals, bowls, and trumpets. Trumpets first and then bowls. So look with me at chapter 8, where the seventh seal will be opened. Now, the seventh seal contains seven trumpets. So out of this one seal came seven angels with seven trumpets. And let us see what came out of these trumpets. When I opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. And I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. Then another angel, having a golden censer, came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of the saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascended before God from the angel's hand. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and threw it on the earth. And there were noises, thunderings, lightnings, and an earthquake. So the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. Listen to the sounding of the trumpet. The first trumpet, Revelation chapter 8, verse 7. The first angel sounded, and hail and fire followed, mingled with blood, and they were thrown to the earth. And a third of the trees were burned up, and all green grass was burned up. Now, this is after the sixth seal, and Ed Hinson said that at the end of the sixth seal, about half of the population of the earth was destroyed. But the destruction continues. The second trumpet, verse 8. Then the second angel sounded, and something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea. And a third of the sea became blood. And a third of the living creatures in the sea died. And a third of the ships were destroyed. Verse 10. Then the third angel sounded, and a great star fell from heaven, burning like a torch, and it fell on the third of the rivers and on the springs of water. The name of the star is Wormwood. A third of the waters became wormwood, and many men died from the water because it was made bitter. Verse 12, the fourth trumpet. Then the fourth angel sounded, and a third of the sun was struck. A third of the moon and a third of the stars, so that a third of them were darkened. A third of the day did not shine, and likewise the night. And I looked, and I heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, because of the remaining blast of the trumpet of the three angels who are about to sound." So the three last angels will sound, but those are also called woes. So the fifth trumpet, so the fifth, the sixth, and the seventh are described as woes. Chapter 9. Then the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven to the earth. To him was given the key to the bottomless pit, and he opened the bottomless pit, and smoke arose out of the pit like the smoke of a great furnace. So the sun and the air were darkened because of the smoke of the pit. Then out of the smoke, locusts came upon the earth, and to them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. They were commanded not to harm the grass or the earth, or any green thing, or any tree, but only those men who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. There are some who are going to have the seal of God, and we will look at that shortly. And they were not given authority to kill them, but to torment them for 5 months. Their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it strikes a man. In those days, men will seek death and will not find it. They will desire to die, and death will flee from them. The shape of the locusts as like horses prepared, was like horses prepared for battle. On their heads were crowns of something like gold, and their faces were like the faces of men. They had hair like women's hair, and their teeth were like lions' teeth, and they had breastplates like breastplates of iron. And the sound of their wings was like the sound of chariots with many horses running into battle. They had tails like scorpions, and there were stings in their tails. Their power was to hurt men 5 months, and they had a king over them as the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon, but the Greek, he has the name Apollyon. One woe is past. Behold, two more woes are coming. The sixth trumpet is opened in verse 13. Then the sixth angel sounded. I am literally preaching the word. Then the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates. So the four angels who had been prepared for the hour, the day and month and year, were released to kill a third of mankind. Now the number of the army of the horsemen was 200 million. I heard the number of them, and thus I saw the horses in the vision. Those who sat on them had breastplates of fiery red, hyacinth blue, and sulfur yellow. And the heads of the horses were like the heads of lions. And out of the mouths came fire, smoke, and brimstone. By these three plagues, a third of mankind was killed, by the fire and the smoke and the brimstone which came out of their mouths. These are an example of the wrath that will be upon the earth. Devastation, destruction, human suffering during this time of the tribulation. We see an interlude in the book of Revelation between the sixth and seventh seal, as well as the sixth and seventh trumpet. So let's see what is in the seventh trumpet. Revelation chapter 11, 15. It says, then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdom of this world have become the kingdoms of the Lord and his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders who sat before God on their thrones fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, we give you thanks, O Lord God Almighty, the one who is and who was and who is to come, because you have taken your great power and reigned. The nations were angry, and your wrath has come. And the time of the dead that they should be judged, and that you should reward your servants, the prophets, and the saints, and those who fear your name, small and great, and should destroy those who destroy the earth. As we go back to our text in chapter 12, we see that there is war in heaven. The conflict of the ages is raging on. The war is on, but the war is won. Jesus Christ has already won the battle. He has won that war. He has defeated Satan, but it is going to be played out on the earth. And it is going to come to a climax at the Battle of Armageddon. And Pastor will tell us more about that. But not only do we see the war, and not only do we see the wrath. Now, the wrath there, Satan was cast out of heaven. He is on the earth tormenting people. But although it is the wrath of Satan, Satan was loosed to cause suffering on the earth, but he was loosed on a leash. Now, God is still in control of history. Things have not gotten out of control when Satan is causing all this havoc, just like he didn't prevail in heaven in the beginning. He did not prevail when he met Jesus Christ in the temptation. He did not prevail when Jesus was engulfed with darkness. Light and darkness met in a decisive conflict. The Bible tells us that the darkness did not prevail. Satan cannot prevail. We used to sing a song which says, Satan, you can't prevail. Satan, you can't prevail. Because of disobedience, God turned you out of heaven. I want us to embrace the power and the glory and the victory of Jesus Christ. Fierce may be the conflict, strong may be the foe, but the Lord's own army, none can overthrow. God continues to roll out his program. God continues to exercise justice and righteousness in the earth. The righteous judge will judge righteously and bring to accountability the living and the dead and all the forces in this world. The Bible tells us he has spoiled principalities and powers and made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. This is the time of the tribulation, and we see that the war is on. Right now, brothers and sisters, I want us to recognize that we are in a warfare. And the warfare is becoming more targeted against those who name the name of Jesus Christ. The warfare is becoming more intense, and we ask ourselves, why? Why is there this intensity of warfare against Jesus Christ and his church? The Bible answers it for us. Because he knows that his time is short. Because he knows that he has but a limited time. The devil will come up against us to do any and everything to prevent us from preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, from sharing the goodness of God. The devil will try to afflict us, will try to distress us, will try to break our lives and cause suffering. But in the name of Jesus, we have the victory. In the name of Jesus, even demons will have to flee. I remember hearing the testimony of John Ramirez. He grew up as a child exposed to Santeria, satanic worship. And as a child, he was devoted to Satan. He was dedicated to Satan. And he grew up only knowing the powers of Satan. He said as he advanced in Satan's kingdom, he would target certain churches, shut down churches, afflict geographical areas with diseases as an instrument of Satan. He performed many satanic rituals and brought harm to many people. He targeted those churches that were making a difference. And he said he went to one church. And after that visit to that church, one of the demons said to him, "Don't go back to that church. They are worshiping Jesus who cast our master out of heaven." He said on his way home, he thought about it. And he said, if someone was able to cast that master out of heaven, it therefore means that there is someone more powerful than Satan.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, "Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved?" You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this: "Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen." And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-887-4750 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. And remember to ask for our daily devotional, The Word for You Today. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing to us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for worship this Sunday at 10:45 a.m. It will certainly be a pleasure to meet you. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.